the Marines.
Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belleville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It's Monday. It's the 14th of December. It's 2015, and we're ticking down our last five shows of 2015. What a hell of a year it's been. I've done 100 days on the road. 60,000 air miles, I think it was. I have to look it up. So all this week, we're going to be covering the marijuana legalization initiatives. And so California was today. We got Nevada tomorrow, Arizona Wednesday, Massachusetts Thursday, and Maine on Friday. And then coming around the top of the year, when we get into 2016, we'll come back and I'll have some analysis of the new Vermont bill that we just learned about today. And join us tomorrow on the show in our first hour. In our activist agenda, we've got Fran Janik joining us, a.k.a. Medi Grow Vermont, from our chat room. And he's been keeping an eye on all the developments up there in Vermont. And we will learn more about this potential legalization. And my favorite part, got to say it, is pot lounges. It provides for the possibility of some 40-odd 42, I think it is, 42 pot lounges in the state of Vermont. And this follows the trend that every other legal state is following. Are you listening, Olympia? Are you listening, Salem? Alaska has already gone ahead and said, yeah, we're going to have on-site consumption lounges, pot lounges. The California Initiative. And again, when I say California Initiative or Arizona Initiative, I know some people are going to be upset because there are other initiatives in those states still going. You still got the Arizonans for Mindful Regulation. And you still got in California, God, like 10 other initiatives, but most prominently MCLR and CCHI, right? But show me the money, guys. You got to show me the money. I'm stretched thin as it is with my time. Okay. So I'm going to analyze the ones that have money and signatures first. And then as I see progress on the others, I'll be glad to analyze them too. So that's the disclaimer. But anyway, the California Initiative, the Maine, Massachusetts, the Arizona, the Nevada, and now the Vermont bill all have some recognition of the possibility of pot lounges. The Vermont one and the Maine one come right out and explicitly say, oh yeah, there are going to be pot lounges. They will exist. The other states, the Nevada, I think the Arizona one, it's like after 2020, they might, you know, they have the authority to license pot lounges. The Nevada, the Massachusetts are, oh, the Massachusetts one is if the people in a city or township put an initiative together and vote for it, then there can be pot shops in that place. The Nevada one, I think, is the state might allow it. The California is the state is enabled to, allowed to, you know, put it together, right? All of them, though. So for sure, Alaska, Vermont, and Maine are going to have pot lounges. The rest of them will likely have pot lounges. Colorado, the folks in Denver, Mason Tvert and Brian Vicente and those guys, they're all working with the Denver City Council to have some sort of way to have pot lounges. So here in Oregon and Washington, we may find ourselves in the Pacific Northwest with all our tourist bounty, the coast, Portland, Seattle, the Cascade Mountain Ranges, the skiing, the forests, the beaches, tourist paradise. Can you, and to not be a place that's going to allow pot lounges? Now, private property owners have the right to be able to allow it. So some of them beach rental condos and beach houses that you can rent on the Oregon coast, the Washington coast, some of their owners now are advertising that they're 420 friendly. They want the tourist dollars coming in. So legislators in Salem and Olympia better start recognizing the handwriting on the wall. And the Senator White in Vermont, who defended this in her bill, because, you know, some of these Vermont legislators, oh my God, I don't know, pot lounges, my goodness, people will drive there. And, you know, not at all, you know, ignoring the irony that we have no problem with people driving to bars to get drunk and we trust them to go home. We don't have mandatory breathalyzer valet parking. You one of these anti-pot people and you're really concerned about stone driving, I'll believe you. When you pressure a bill, when you lobby for a bill to require mandatory breathalyzer valet parking for any lounge or restaurant serving alcohol over X number of size. You go to some of these places with parking lots full of cars, people at the bars, and you know not all of them brought a designated driver, right? Anyway, so when the Vermonters got all upset that, oh my God, there'll be pot lounges and people driving to them, Senator White said, look, if we don't give them a place to smoke, the tourists who come in to ski or, you know, visit Vermont, they'll hide it in their hotel rooms. They'll sneak off into the parking lots. They'll smoke it in their cars. They'll hide in the back alleys of the downtown. You can't legislate or recognize people's right to do something and then provide no way for them to exercise that right. Didn't we learn that from poll taxes and Jim Crow? Hey, we got to take a break. We're back after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The son of a Polish immigrant who grew up in a Brooklyn tenement, he went to public schools, then college, where the work of his life began, fighting injustice and inequality, speaking truth to power. He moved to Vermont, won election and praise as one of America's best mayors. In Congress, he stood up for working families and for principle, opposing the Iraq War, supporting veterans. Now he's taking on Wall Street and a corrupt political system, funded by over a million contributions, tackling climate change to create clean energy jobs, fighting for living wages, equal pay, and tuition-free public colleges.
People are sick and tired of establishment politics, and they want real change.
Bernie Sanders, husband, father, grandfather, an honest leader, building a movement with you to give us a future to believe in.
I'm Bernie Sanders, and I approve this message.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals, or at least they pay me to say that. A public service message from CannabisRadio.com and the Russ Belville Show.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat? More flavor.
Welcome back, everybody. 12 after the hour here at Rolla J Studios in wet Portland, Oregon. I don't know if you've been watching the Weather Channel and you know what's going on here in the Pacific Northwest, but we're suffering our monsoon season here. It's just wet, 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 wet. And so it's wet and we got a lot of leaves and pine needles and sticks and stuff, and they clog up the gutters. And the next thing you know, you got these lakes out there on the corners of different streets, right? And I don't drive a car. I'm all public transportation and walking, right? So you gotta be careful you're walking. You might walk somewhere and get splashed. Oh my God. I was walking Roscoe the other day, my beloved Jack Russell Terrorist. You know these Jack Russell Terrorists, they're little lowrider dogs, right? And we got to one place where he had to swim. It's like, God damn, that's a lot of rain. We had 8 inches in one night, I think it was. That's what she said. Ba-da-bum. No, that's Stoner Jesus' territory. I better stay away from that. Speaking of, Stoner Jesus will be off tonight. So sorry, folks. No Stoner Jesus tonight. I do not know why. I think maybe it's just his holiday break. Whatever. Getting ready for his birthday, perhaps, coming up in a couple weeks. Anyway, we were talking about the stoners against legalization. That was part of the rant. And it's interesting to me how some people can just go out of their way to find something. And part of it to me, it reminds me of the paranoid conspiracy thinking type people, right? Where like, it can't be that JFK was shot by a single assassin because that's ridiculous. It was the CIA, whatever. You know, people will come up with all sorts of paranoid conspiratorial thinking. And again, a disclaimer, I'm not claiming I know what happened at the Kennedy assassination. I just brought that up as a generic thing, right? Moon landing, whatever you want to fill in, right? 9/11, whatever, right? Whether they're right or wrong, there are some people that come up with, you know, these complex conspiratorial machinations, right? One of them that I heard recently was, and this was in Mickey Martin's piece, I think it was. Mickey Martin wrote a 5,000-word piece telling Sean Parker to fuck off, right? In his style. But he wrote a 5,000-word piece complaining about how long the initiative was. I thought that was fun. But also complaining that it was bullshit legalization. And the reasoning that he had in one case had to do with it not being sold in places that sell alcohol or tobacco. And I thought that was a weird thing to complain about, right? Like, we're complaining that when you go to a weed store, it won't be a place you can also get alcohol or tobacco. Well, that's the case everywhere, right? Like, all the medical marijuana states and all the legal states that have stores open, you can't get a six-pack and a carton along with your weed. It's a store where you can only buy weed. Now, should it be that way? Well, maybe not. Maybe we should be able to buy it at farmers markets and herb shops and the 7-Eleven. But that will get there, right? Like, I don't see, it's like some people have no compromise in them, right? They want to be at the end point of perfect freedom right now. I was like, yeah, we'll get there. We'll get to the point where you can smoke weed at a bar and the point where you can have, you know, buy it at a farmer's market and so forth. But, you know, let's make some progress, right? But no, this was the objection that it wasn't sold, that in the California Adult Use Initiative, it couldn't be sold where alcohol or tobacco were sold because, and here's where the conspiracy thinking comes in, because Justin Hartfield of Weed Maps specifically wants that in there so that the only places to buy pot are at pot shops so that Weed Maps will still stay in business. The theory being, if marijuana were allowed to be sold where alcohol or tobacco was sold, then you could just get it anywhere and you wouldn't need weed maps anymore and it'd go out of business.
Okay.
Do you immediately, like I did, figure out where the logic flaw was that in that whole line of thinking? Yeah. It's not whether weed is sold alongside alcohol or tobacco that determines whether weed maps is necessary. It's how many places at which marijuana can be sold. And he's trying to make that point, right? But whether alcohol or tobacco is involved isn't what limits how many places there are to buy pot. It's how many licenses the state will give out for places to buy pot. That's what creates the scarcity. And so long as there is scarcity, it doesn't matter whether weed is sold alongside alcohol, tobacco, milk, Pringles. It doesn't matter. If I'm only going to give you 10 licenses, you're still going to need a weed maps to be able to find where those licensees are. So maybe you just didn't make that clear enough that it can't just be restricting it from being sold where alcohol and tobacco is sold. Now, if you want to make the argument that Hartfield argued for hard caps on how many licenses there could be, then that conspiracy makes a little more sense to me. Maybe someone could explain it to me. The phone lines are open here at 971-533-7111. And we welcome all points of view. And I guarantee you, you will be allowed at least two in uninterrupted minutes to speak. At least two. and if you're doing well, probably much more. But it's 971-533-7111. Now, the other problem I've got, we'll talk about this when we come back, is when people get into reading these initiatives and they don't understand how the construction works, or they don't understand, or they don't come to it with understanding of what the current law is. And so we'll talk about that here when we come back from break. Also, we got a story that's in the New York Times that I want to get to. And it's called "As Marijuana Laws Relax, Smokers in New York Turn Bolder." Now, the problem is that it didn't quite, they left a word out of the headline, white smokers in New York turn bolder. We'll talk about that when we come back as well. Also, again, phone lines open at 971-533-7111 if you want to call in. Other news also that we'll discuss here in the rest of this hour is the recalls in Colorado with 13 recalls in the city of Denver in the past 13 weeks. So for an entire quarter, we've averaged one recall. That's like Elmer Fudd took over. One recall every week for a quarter. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? We'll discuss that too.
Oh, I could have smoked that pot.
And at 4:20 too, Homer. It's 4:20 here in the Pacific Time Zone. West Coast is the best coast. I don't know what we've got here. Well, we've got it in the strong silicone bong. Guaranteed not to rust, bust, crust, or, well, you know, break. Happy 4:20, everyone. We're back right after this.
Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your Cannabusiness 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPAs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
NARML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs. The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
Gondrepreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Gondrepreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Gondrepreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Gondrepreneur.com, helping Gondrepreneurs grow.
Welcome back, everybody. 23 after the hour here at Rolla J Studios. Hope you're having a great holiday season. Reminder that we will be off on the next 2 weeks, starting next week, for the holiday break. I celebrate Festivus for the rest of us. So we'll get out the Festivus poll and, of course, compete in the feats of strength after the airing of the grievances, of course. We got all sorts of great stuff coming up for you on CannabisRadio.com. We're signed up now. We have signed a contract where we will be bringing you the Associated Press Cannabis Wire, and I will be reading it for you every day. This will be also a separate podcast, so if you want to subscribe to just the Cannabis Radio News, you'll be able to do so. Also, good news, the iTunes podcast feed is now up for the Russ Belville Show under CannabisRadio.com. And I posted the link in my Twitter feed, at Radical Russ, just a couple hours ago. So you should be able to find it there. I had a programming error there I had to fix, but we were just talking about Stoners Against Legalization, and the other thing that I wanted to get to is how sometimes when people oppose these measures, they'll see something in the measure, they'll be reading the initiative, and they'll see a line, and they'll go, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing that, those assholes, oh my God, this must be opposed. And so I had this fella in my Facebook page responding to Nevada's initiative, and he says, Nevada's initiative makes it a Class E felony to make extracts, including bubble hash, and it goes downhill from there. Regulate cannabis like cotton. Okay. And here's the problem. It's already a Class E felony to make extracts, including bubble hash. That's the thing, right? And I said that to him. He says, no, the Nevada medical regs didn't say that. It's in the 2016 legalization initiative. And I'm like, no, dude, Nevada's criminal laws now, already, before medical even existed and after it was passed, make the manufacture of hashish a Class E felony. It's in their laws. Anytime you want to know what a state marijuana law is, go to normal.org/laws/ two-letter abbreviation for that state. So in this case, normal.org/laws/NV for Nevada. And you'll find that in their law, marijuana is treated, or hashish, I should say, hash, concentrates, extracts, is treated like marijuana. All concentrates are treated like marijuana under the law. And the manufacture of marijuana, or the cultivation of marijuana, is a Class E felony. So the manufacturer of hashish or concentrates is a Class E felony already. See, the reason sometimes these initiatives have to put that in the initiative is because in some other place in the initiative, they say that marijuana is legal. And so if you just left it as marijuana is legal, then people could say, oh, or sometimes it'll say this section or this chapter is amended. This particular chapter is struck and this new chapter replaces it, right? So like the chapter that was struck was the chapter that had, among a lot of things, the part where making hash was illegal, right? And so you replace it with this new chapter. So if you're only trying to legalize X, Y, and Z, and you're not trying to legalize making hash, you've got to put that part back in the law because you struck the whole other chapter. That can be a way that that happens sometimes. So sometimes what's happening when you find something that you object to in a legalization initiative, stop and ask yourself, is that the law now? Like, is this making it any worse? No, it's not, because that's already a Class E felony. There is something in the Sean Parker initiative that makes something worse. There's no doubt about it. There is no open container law in California law right now. There is a possession infraction in California law. So right now, if you're the guy possessing weed in the passenger seat and the cop finds out, you can get a $100 possession ticket. Once this Sean Parker legalization happens, in that same scenario, your possession of weed is legal, but if it's in an open container, it's a $250 ticket. So you go from a situation from where possession of weed in any kind of container, open or closed, gets you a $100 ticket, to a situation where possession of marijuana in an open container gets you a $250 ticket. So get a closed container and put it in the trunk, okay? The idea that you could look at legalization, you could look at, hey, we're going to have pot lounges, we're going to have pot shops, we're going to have legal indoor home cultivation that cannot be banned by a locality. Outdoor can, under this Sean Parker thing, outdoor cultivation can be banned, but not indoor. Your indoor right to cultivate 6 plants cannot be abridged. That's going to help a lot of medical marijuana patients in places where they've banned that cultivation. Although I think the Fresno case recently, they said they couldn't do that. But regardless, we're opening up a right to people that wouldn't have it. Opening up pot shops, we're opening up pot lounges possibly, and granting people a right to possess not just marijuana, but also concentrate, 8 grams of concentrate. And you'd throw that away and maintain prohibition because the slim, tiny possibility that you get busted for possessing an open container in a car as a passenger goes from a $100 ticket to a $250 ticket. That I can't get my mind around. So basically the summary there is check what the law is first before you complain about what the initiative's going to do. Does it make things worse than what we already have? Now, a hang up in California on that respect is that the medical marijuana law there is so loose that it's very easy for some folks to look at it and go, well, gee, all I got to do is go spend some money at the pot doc and get my recommendation, and then I'm golden, man. I got places to shop. I don't get busted for possession. I can grow. Why would I want to mess with that? And so, folks, this is why I am so nervous about California. I really am. I can envision a scenario in which California legalization in 2016 loses. I can really easy envision that scenario. Very easily. Part of the scenario would be more than one legalization makes the ballot. Both Sean Parker and, let's say, MCLR. Two make the ballot. And then all the diehards who want the true pot legalization recognize the mathematical reality that if there are two initiatives on the ballot, given the general electorate, they are going to vote for the more restrictive of the two. Okay? The people who hate pot are going to vote against both of them. Always. They're just going to be, it's legalization, they're going to vote against it. But those middle ground people who think that, yeah, pot shouldn't be illegal, but I don't want to see, you know, rampant pot use, right? Those middle ground people, given two options, are going to pick the more conservative of the two. So mathematically speaking, game theory wise,
If you want the more liberal of the two to pass, you have to vote for it and you have to vote against the other. I'm not recommending that. I recommend people vote for all legalizations that make the ballot. But if two make the ballot, there will be a respectable chunk of the marijuana community who, through game theory, will have to vote against Sean Parker and vote for theirs. So add to the already existing no votes for legalization that are going to exist to counteract the conservative folks that are going to pick the more conservative Sean Parker. They have to vote against the more conservative Sean Parker and for the MCLR to hopefully balance it out. And maybe that ends us up at a point where both of these initiatives get something like 49%. Can you imagine? I can imagine that, where the pro-pot vote ends up getting significantly shifted to the more liberal initiative in such a way that had there just been one initiative, it would have passed. But had there been two, it split the vote enough that they both end up at 49. I can imagine that. And imagine that that comes along with bad news coming out of legalization states. We don't know what could happen, right? And what effect that could have on people. So that could change a whole lot about the politics of this in just a year. You don't know. And I know that the other side, the Kevin Sabets and the drug czars, are going to be marshaling all of their resources and forces to try to forestall legalization in California, because they know if California passes, it's all over. It's all over for them. So I can envision a scenario where California loses, and I can envision a scenario where Nevada loses. I don't think Nevada is that much of a slam dunk, right? I think Nevada's, you know, going to be tough as it is. People think of Nevada as like whores and gambling and, you know, it's, you know, Sin City and all. But really, Nevada, aside from Las Vegas, Nevada is a lot like Idaho. It's hunters, ranchers. It's very conservative, very religious, you know, folks. And as the pro-pot community starts to get word that there's a 25-mile halo in the Nevada initiative that forbids home growing within 25 miles of a pot shop, when they find out that public toking is a misdemeanor with like a $600 fine, there's another place where legalization could lose in 2016. Arizona? Arizona only passed medical by 0.13%. 50.13%. So a 0.26%, a quarter of a point difference. That was medical, real popular medical. So could Arizona fall? I mean, I worry about these things, man. I sit up worrying about this stuff because bad news, a moral panic can change the political landscape in a hurry. Let me give you an example. This is a story that's going to resonate. This is out of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Now, y'all know about SEC football, right? Southeastern Conference. If you're not a football fan, an NCAA fan, the SEC is the marquee league. It's the one with the big CBS sports contract, and it's where almost all the national champions recently have come from. So Robert Kimdichie is a star football player for Ole Miss. And in Buckhead, Georgia, a little suburb of Atlanta, he went out on the ledge and fell 15 feet onto the concrete. Had to go to the hospital for stitches and then to jail. So the Kimdichie, who's guaranteed to go in the NFL, right, was charged with possession of less than an ounce of marijuana following an incident at the Grand Hyatt Atlanta on Peachtree Street. Which one? They found approximately 7 rolled marijuana cigarettes in his fourth floor room, where they believe the 6'4", 296-pound defensive tackle broke a window before crawling out and one way or another wound up bleeding on the ground. What strain is it that causes these young men with African names to want to leap out of hotels? What is the hell is going on here? But nobody seems to understand what happened, how he got over two ledges and then onto the ground. They were blunts, The room was in complete disarray. Booked on the misdemeanor marijuana charge, he was the nation's number one recruit out of high school and widely projected to be the top pick of the 2016 NFL draft if he skips his senior year. My goodness. And so stories like this, right? Stories like this start to pile up about people behaving crazily, erratically, and dangerously, and marijuana's involved. It's not going to be easy for us, folks. This is a big 11 months we're about to embark on. We'll be here every weekday for you, 3 p.m. Pacific on CannabisRadio.com. One more break and last segment coming up.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com and follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
Welcome back, everybody. In the final segment here, I guess we got more than two segments. Well, whatever. We'll just keep going. Stoner Jesus isn't on at the top of the hour, so we can go all the way to the top of the hour today, and that's exactly what we're going to do. And I had teased this story earlier, and I wanted to make sure that we got to it. It's in the New York Times. And it says, as marijuana laws relax, smokers in New York turn bolder. And the first paragraph, it wafts down the pavement, an unmistakable stench more Haight-Ashbury than New York. The tang of marijuana smoke in the city's streets. If the smell, and the lightheadedness a passerby may feel, is anything to judge by, lighting up and strolling around seems increasingly common in pockets of Brooklyn, on side streets in Manhattan, and in other public places. Now, first of all, the very first thing you see in this story is a window pane picture, you know, four pictures of people smoking pot on the streets of New York. Let me describe them for you. White dude, white dude, white dude, white lady. And the locations, Williamsburg, Brooklyn, Tompkins Square Park, Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and Washington Square Park. Just openly toking. We got any pictures from Harlem? Got any pictures from Harlem, any chance, right? No, nothing around 110th Street? Okay, yeah. See, this is the problem with this story, is it talks about how street smokers are emboldened because places, you know, in the West have legalized marijuana and the cops are low key on it and they don't care. All this story is finding out is something we've already known, is that weed is somewhat legal for white folks. See, I do have to take exception with the part about the lightheadedness a passerby may feel. There is no, you're not going to get high off of smelling secondhand smoke in the street. It's not going to happen. But throughout the rest of this, you know, it spoke about the police commissioner Bratton, how he ran into a young woman smoking marijuana in the financial district on Wall Street, 8:30 in the morning. Uh-huh, and didn't bust her though, exactly. The arrests have fallen. In New York, 26,000 people were arrested for criminal possession of marijuana in the fifth degree, which is openly burning a joint and possessing more than 25 grams. They've ended the stop and frisk policy, may have contributed to the drop. But on the message boards, people note that the scent can peak in parts of Brooklyn as the morning commute gears up, with smokers taking drags between sips of coffee. In the spring, Fox News broadcast a report noting the stench on the jogging paths of Carl Schurz Park on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, right next to Gracie Mansion, the mayoral residence. Outside Italy, the sprawling Italian marketplace in the Flatiron District, the smell from a joint on a recent weekday battled the aroma of espresso beans. So, the other part I have to take exception with is characterizing it as stench. It's a smell. Urine in New York City is a stench. Garbage in New York City is a stench. See, these mainstream media outlets like the New York Times don't recognize it, but they're in that era where they don't recognize the bigotry of their language. And it's our job to have to educate them on this. And to their credit, Drug Policy Alliance has already done a fantastic project where they came up with new stock photos and video of people using cannabis. So it wasn't always that same picture of the dude with the dirty fingernails and the scraggly goatee smoking the brown raggedy joint. How many times have you seen that same dude on CNN or Fox News or any of those stories as the B-roll while they're talking about weed? You know the guy I'm talking about. Could be white, could be Mexican. You don't know, right? You just see him from like the nose down smoking the joint. You know the shot I'm talking about. So they've done a great job with that. They've come up with some new public service B-roll and photos that can be used. But the next stage, I think, in our media education needs to be a style guide. A style guide. Now, this was done by the gay rights movement. It used to be that newspapers would write about homosexuals. Homosexuals. They don't anymore. They write about gays and lesbians. Right? They used to write about transsexuals. They were educated to understand that, no, you're writing about transgender people. They're not transgendered, they're transgender, right? All these little, and some people would say, it's just, you know, nitpicking or whatever, but no, it can make a difference in people's perceptions. Now, this is where the argument comes up. People say, well, then they should have to say cannabis instead of marijuana. That's the one place I'll make a little exception. I'll make an exception on that because far more people know what marijuana is. It searches much higher. And in certain contexts, marijuana is the more accurate term. That's right. Cannabis refers to the entire plant. Marijuana refers to the dried buds prepared for smoking. A more, even more precise term than marijuana is sensimilia. Sensimilia is marijuana without seeds. But marijuana is flower, what we intend to smoke, right? So there's some places where saying marijuana makes more sense. I smoke marijuana. I smoke cannabis is, you can say that, but it's like saying I eat cow. Right? No, you tend to eat a steak. Although if you're eating a steak, technically you are eating cow. It just doesn't kind of work, you know, in the frame the same way. Also, if you're talking about the laws are actually marijuana laws in most places. And some places, marijuana with an H. So you are changing marijuana laws. You're reforming marijuana laws. Those marijuana laws ban cannabis. Also, cannabis is so broad that it also includes hemp, right? Joy Beckerman-Marr does a great presentation where she talks about how cannabis is the whole plant, marijuana is the psychoactive one, hemp is the industrial one. And I think that's cool as far as understanding goes. But in general, we need to have like a style guide for the mainstream media so that they understand that saying stench of marijuana is a pejorative term. Presumes that that is a smell that is objectively offensive to most, if not all, people. And it's something here in Oregon that our courts have actually addressed. We actually had this case that came up, and it was just recently, where it was ruled that marijuana was not an objectively offensive odor, like the smell of garbage or rotting flesh. That some people actually like the smell of marijuana. So New York Times, it's inaccurate to say the stench of marijuana, because stench is a term that comes with a negative connotation. The odor of marijuana, okay. The smell of marijuana, the scent of marijuana, there's a lot of other words you can use. And it's those subtle ways of framing things that can change or set the tone for a story or how people interpret a story. There's a lot more we could talk about in that respect. I'm going to take a short break, get some stuff in order here, and we'll come back for our final segment. We'll take it to the top of the hour here. Stay tuned.
It's time for Cannabis Facts about teen drug use from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
You're tuned into The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Your connection to quality cannabis insurance services is spelled
K-A-E-R-C-H-E-R.
That's Karcher Insurance. We have worked with ventures like cannabis for over 60 years. We're proud to represent over 50 companies with tailor-made cannabis business plans for owners just like you to insure your product, your plants, and your pursuits.
K-A-E-R-C-H-E-R
spells out their full-service insurance services, ranging from commercial to bonds, to personal, from life to health, and more. Contact the team at KarcherInsurance.com and let our experience work for you. That's KarcherInsurance.com.
Contact Karen and the team at Karcher Insurance at 1-844-421-3560. That's 844-421-3560.
Welcome back, Tokers and Tokettes. Final segment here on a Monday. Thanks for joining us. I'm Radical Russ Belville, coming to you live from beautiful, legal, wet, soggy Portland, Oregon, where the weather forecast for the next 4 months is gray with a continuing chance of wet, highs and lows near 45 degrees, plus or minus 7 degrees on either side, with occasional wind and shittiness. I'm serious, folks. We are socked in till April. Every now and then we get to see this strange glowing disc in the sky, but for the most part, gray, wet. And it's funny because the rents have been rising in Portland. We've had all these Californians and other people come into the state, come into Portland specifically and go, you know, they come in like June or July and they go to the waterfront and they go to the food carts and they go to the Rose Garden. They go all these great places like, oh, what a beautiful place. And oh my goodness, it's the cost of living so low. Let's all move here. And they get all moved in by September, October, and douche. We just flood them out. Literally, we got streets that are flooded here. We got places you cannot drive right now because it's all flooded. Sinkholes opening up, mudslides covering the roads. These Californians and other folks like, shit. That's funny as hell to me. Anyway, let's talk about marijuana. That's what we do here on the Russ Belville Show. And good news coming out of the state of Kentucky. Kentucky senator who spoke at the Mensa gathering, so must be a smart guy. Kentucky senator files the Cannabis Freedom Act, which would legalize medical and recreational marijuana in one fell swoop. Folks, one of these days, some state's going to do that. It's finally going to happen somewhere. Somebody's just going to go, look, why stop at this medical thing? Let's just legalize it for everybody. That takes care of the medical people. And we don't have to spend money locking up potheads anymore. And that's what he's done. He's filed this Cannabis Freedom Act. And here's how it would go. 21 and over, possess an ounce, cultivate up to 5 plants.
What? 5 plants? That's not enough. That's not true legalization.
Yes, 5 plants. Store an excess of cultivated cannabis for personal use where it was cultivated. In other words, you can possess the results of your harvest. You can give an ounce to another person over 21. And if you're a person under 21, you can possess cannabis if recommended by a licensed physician. So what this is basically saying is medical marijuana will exist for minors only, for people under 21 only. There'd be no need to go get a recommendation for your, from your doctor if you're an adult. Now, it would be nice if there was an adult medical program where the adults could possess more than an ounce and grow more than 5 plants. That would be an improvement. But hey, we're talking about Kentucky, folks. And no smoking cannabis in public places. So it doesn't look like they'd be having any sort of pot lounges there in Kentucky. And the senator, Perry Clark, said, quote, "It is abundantly clear to me that cannabis, while being much less harmful, should be treated the same as alcohol. The Cannabis Freedom Act is an outline on how to tax and regulate the sale of marijuana to adults 21 and older in Kentucky. It is time for this discussion in our Commonwealth." Now, another interesting part of this is they'll have a 3-tier licensing system. They'll have cultivators, processors, and retailers, but no vertical integration. So it'll be like the alcohol model. You know how in alcohol, there's not an alcohol industry, really. There's 3 alcohol industries. There's the producers of alcohol, the distillers and the brewers, right? And the vintners of wine, right? Then you got your distributors of alcohol, and then you got your retailers of alcohol. Because the way alcohol was set up in most places is they can't be vertically integrated. Now, there are exceptions in places like here in Oregon where we have microbrewers, right, who brew their own beer and have their own shops, you know, their own brew pubs, right? So there's certain exceptions, right? But generally speaking, there's 3 alcohol industries. That's what there'd be in Kentucky. There'd be Kentucky growers, Kentucky wholesalers, and Kentucky retailers. Great. Do it. Let's go. I just want to see some state finally pass, and this is a bill, this isn't an initiative, folks, but I want to see some state pass straight to recreational marijuana. It's got to happen. Good luck for Kentucky on making that happen. Also in the news, comedian Margaret Cho is starring in a new comedy for Amazon called Highland, and it stars Cho, who, after court-ordered rehab, has to move in with her dysfunctional family that run a pot dispensary. So this will be on Amazon. We're starting to see that now, too, these original series that come out only on Amazon, only on Netflix. So good luck to Margaret Cho on that. Anytime we've got more pot shows, the better. I'm all for that. And then also a shout out to Christopher Ingraham. I got to meet him at the International Drug Policy Conference in Virginia. And his latest on the Wonk blog, courts are forcing marijuana users to get drug treatment they probably don't need. And, you know, he's picking up on the TEDS A data that Tom Angel has been going over and I've been going over on marijuana politics. And he points out that marijuana users, more than any other drug users, are forced into rehab by the criminal justice system. And he created a nice little graph here, a little bar graph showing that over 50, it's like 53%, 52% of marijuana users are forced into treatment by the criminal justice system, and points out how low that is when you get down to cocaine, sedatives, and heroin. You know, heroin, it's down to like, you know, only 17% of the heroin users are forced there by the criminal justice system. Most of them are going there because they recognize they've got a problem. And the problem with this, too, is that 40% of the people seeking treatment had to wait a day or more to get to treatment. And 15% faced a wait of a week or more. And the way, when you work out the numbers, it shows that about 1 out of 10 beds in drug treatment facilities are occupied by someone forced there for marijuana. that probably don't have any sort of addiction problem. And as we've pointed out, 37% of them didn't even smoke pot for a month before they went to rehab. Another 16 or 17% didn't smoke pot for a whole, or didn't even smoke pot once a week before they went to rehab. So one out of 10 beds taken up by us, the pot smoker who got caught, when 15% of the people who need treatment for hard drugs have to wait a week or more, maybe they should get caught smoking pot. Maybe if people want drug treatment, what they ought to do is get themselves a baggie of weed, walk up to a cop and hold up the baggie of weed. Then the cop will bust you, send you to a drug court, and then the drug court will say you will force you to go into rehab and you can have that bed to get over your heroin addiction. Maybe that's the way it works. Only 9% of the people who try marijuana ever become dependent on it. 9%. One out of 11. The lowest rate of dependence for any drug that's considered habit forming. It's the same rate as caffeine, 9%. And what I mean by not considered habit forming, like if you look at the dependency rates for things like mushrooms or LSD, they don't really, they're like statistically insignificant, right? People don't get addicted to LSD. It's not the kind of thing you get addicted to. Let's just put it that way, right? So most people don't have a problem with marijuana. And if one out of 10 of our treatment beds are taken by someone who's just forced there because of marijuana prohibition, we are doing a criminal disservice to the healthcare of people with serious addiction problems that cost us all in the long run, that cost us in crime and social services and emergency room treatment and all of that. And that's just one of the many reasons we're here every weekday at 3 p.m. on CannabisRadio.com, bringing you the latest news, the latest interviews, the latest analysis, data, and opinion by, for, and about the cannabis community. It's the Russ Belville Show, and I'm Russ Belville. Thanks for being here. That sound means we are out of time. It's up against the top of the hour here, so thanks for joining us. Coming up on the rest of the week, we got some great guests. Like I said, we're going to be covering all the rest of the legalization initiatives. Tomorrow, we're talking about Vermont legalization. On Thursday, we've got Nick Novello from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. And on Friday, Mason Tvert from the Marijuana Policy Project discussing four state legalizations for 2016. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it.